Hello, and welcome to another episode of That Which Does Not Kill Us. I'm your host, Sarah Arnold, and today I actually want to touch on some topics that came up in a conversation that I was having earlier this week. I was having a really fascinating dialogue about the interest in psychology, like in human psychology, in behavior, and I guess what I would say is being able to assess, how do I put this? Being able to assess, I guess I would say the pathology of like negative behavior in other people and determining where it comes from. So that was the conversation I was having. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this week where we were talking about that. And what I had expressed is that, in my experience, if you can summarize, how do I put this? If you can summarize someone's damage and explain it to them, like, in a short blurb, they don't like that. That's what I learned, is that they don't like it when you can summarize all of their pain into, like, a brief synopsis. Especially when you... You know what I mean? Just, oh yeah, this is what it is. But, so I guess I would say to some degree or another, my fascination with psychology and the human mind and how it works can be, detrimental to my interpersonal relationships if I communicate honestly on what I observe. Because, yeah, I don't know. Like, sometimes people have a hard time wrapping their minds around those concepts. And it was interesting because in the dialogue that we were having, the person I was talking to had brought up that they need to know that they're, you know, if they've been encountered and basically emotionally hurt or destroyed by somebody, like, they seek comfort in knowing why that person is the way they are, because, you know, that, you know, in being able to give empathy to that person that hurt them because of the assumption or the belief that that toxic behavior stems from having experienced their own trauma, you know, because otherwise the alternative is basically that there are monsters out in the world who are hurting people just for the sake of hurting people. And that's a harder pill to swallow, you know, that, you know, I've basically being in the scenario of I've been emotionally destroyed by somebody just because they can, in comparison to I've been emotionally destroyed by somebody because that's the only thing they know. You know what I mean? Trauma leads to fuckery, and, or, you know, goes back to the old phrase of hurt people, you know, or if you're into comics, you know, it's essentially like the villain origin story, you know, where did that stem from? And it's some kind of bad circumstances. It's a perpetuation of bad circumstances happening over and over and over again that could just kind of cause someone to snap. And so, yeah, that was a fascinating dialogue I was having the other day, talking about that. And what's funny, I don't know, maybe it's not funny. What I find funny is that for me personally, I think my interest in psychology initially stemmed from the desire to know, for lack of a better way of putting it, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And if I was a betting person, I would bet that most people who have the same level of intrigue and observational skills that I do, it probably stems from a similar concept. Like, it might not be quite as extreme, but it probably stems from something not dissimilar. Now, another thing that I face, and this is something that I struggle with, I need to dig into, like, how to get better about this is intellectualizing. And I think for me personally, my masculine characteristics, you know what I mean? Like if you subscribe to the whole concept of feminine energy and masculine energy, right? One of my more masculine traits that's not like, I mean, it is a trauma response, but it's not like as aggressive, I guess. It's not as forthcoming or noticeable to the naked eye, is that if I'm experiencing something that is unpleasant, I intellectualize my feelings and go immediately into, you know what I mean? Like, how do I problem solve my feelings, basically, in wanting to fix it? So that's probably one of my more masculine, and I feel like in the context of other people, it's a toxic trait. And ironically, this is something else that came up in that exact same conversation. I was talking about fixing people, and so it's something that I struggle with. You know, I struggle very much with wanting to fix people, you know, or help them problem solve whatever it is that they're experiencing. But it's not just like anybody and everybody. Like, if I want to help somebody be better, there's a 90% probability that the reason why is because I love you. And I want you to, I don't know, experience life better than wherever your current station is. And if I were being transparent, I would say that, like, this is something that I struggle with for myself as well. And that's one of the concepts that I'm currently trying to navigate, is what it, like, I feel like I got this down in the workplace probably before anywhere else, so I guess that's like a starting point. But, like, what is an acceptable level of imperfection, you know? And then from that comes the finding the balance between wanting to be a better person tomorrow than I am today, but then also, again, balancing that with the dichotomy of accepting myself for who I am, where I am, and then having the context and capacity to be able to do that with the people that I love. And that's something I really struggle with. Like, I really, really, really struggle with that a lot, because, and I don't know, like, I think I've got like some kind of white knight syndrome attached to, it's attached to the things that I experienced in my marriage. And, whenever someone I care about is experiencing a similar dynamic, or, you know, something just close enough to compare, like, exactly what I want to do, like, the exact thing that I want to do is I want to fucking get up on my horse, you know, and white knight my ass and, you know, go rescue the fucking princess or whatever. Like, that's the best euphemism I can come up with for that. And I don't know how to not do that. So yeah, that's the space that I'm in right now, that I'm trying to learn how to navigate with people that I care about, because there's at least a couple of people that I'm very close with where to listen to the conversations that we've had, I can't help but think that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I need to establish some kind of boundaries, but figuring out what it is and learning how to navigate that, because it makes my heart sad to know that, like, you know what I mean? That person is subjecting themselves to some kind of verbal abuse, and having experienced what I did, and, like, I'm gonna reiterate here, like, my ex wasn't horrible all the time, okay? Like, it wasn't awful all the time, but the things that were bad, you know, not no different than like the behaviors that I engaged in, you know, during my marriage that were not good. There were plenty. Like, I'm looking at things from my perspective, not from their perspective. You know what I mean? If that motherfucker wants to create a podcast and, you know, divulge all of their negative experiences within the marriage, like, I welcome them to it. It's a great source for healing. But I'm not going to vent on someone else's behalf. I'm only going to vent on my own. Okay. Okay. So, but having experienced the things that I experienced for as long as I did, that, you know, first of all, it took me a really, 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 really long time to be able to actually pinpoint and put my finger on that shit and say that was verbal abuse. You know, that is a form of emotional and psychological abuse. It took me a long time to get to the point where, you know, the thing that happened in February, instead of just calling it like a sexual assault, like, no, rip the fucking Band-Aid off and call it like you see it. It's fucking rape. Okay. I did not consent to sex, i.e. rape. Hard pills to swallow when, you know, there are certain things that you can't fathom you would ever experience. And so it's really hard to swallow those pills when you really, you know, remove your rose-colored glasses and see it for what it is. It's fucking difficult. But either way, when I see that somebody I love is experiencing the same or similar, the first thing I want to do is go run in and rescue them. And I don't know how to not do that. So that's, like, you know what I mean? Like, I got strong fucking white knight syndrome. I don't know what the deal is. And I don't know how to not do that. And then also, I don't know how to be okay with them being okay with the mistreatment that they're receiving. That's something that I struggle with tremendously. And I don't know how to find balance. And, like, I don't understand, like, my fucking brain. And it's, like, and I think it's one of those, now because I'm on the outside looking in, I'm sure 10 years ago, 7 years ago, like, I would get it, because getting out on your own is fucking scary, you know, and there's a ton of people, not just women, but people out there that are afraid to do it on their own, like, or operating from the mindset that they cannot support themselves. And I did that for a really long time. Full transparency, I did for a really long time think that I could not survive on my own until I learned that I had to, you know, because the line in the sand was fucking drawn to the point where I'm like, eh, I can't with this shit anymore. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And there's a part of me that carries shame that it got to the point that it got to. For me to have, you know what I mean? For me to finally fucking leave, like, that's where it got to. Like, it, you know what I mean? It had to get into that, you know, like, you've already taken every other part of me. What's one more? But at the same time, the flip side of that coin is that I'm here and I'm supporting myself and I'm on my own. You know what I mean? I've been, you know, outside of my 9 month, I don't know if I would call it a vacation. It's kind of like a staycation, like a working vacation, is that a thing? Because I feel like that's what my time in South Carolina was. It was kind of like low-key, like a working vacation. Like, I'm not saying it wasn't real life, but that's, I don't know. It felt like a working vacay. It was pretty cool. But outside of that time frame, you know, I've essentially been surviving and supporting myself since June of 2021. You know, so yes, it can be done. It's fucking scary. But aside from being scary, it's also liberating. And so I think it's something that I feel like everybody at some point or another should experience living on their own. Like, not, I'm not talking like with fucking roommates. I mean, like, no shit, living by yourself on your own. There's something really magical about it. And it's liberating and it's empowering. And, like, there's times where it's lonely. There's so many different things that come along with it. But I find it to be an excellent journey for like getting to know oneself. And that's why I think everybody should experience it at some point or another. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to process. Like that's something I definitely need to overcome at some point or another is this like white knight syndrome that I have. Because I don't know how to not do that currently. Like I'm sure there's a way. I just haven't like I have to bring in from my subconscious into my conscious mind, and I have to consciously be aware of my behaviors when I'm experiencing them, and I got a problem with all this one. Like I do. But yeah, it was again really interesting conversation. So one of the other things that came up is toxic behavior. Like, and so I'll talk about myself for an example, because I was talking about some of the benefits that I've experienced from meditation and the current one that I'm on, which I think I talked about in the last episode. And so the first night that I started the meditation that I'm on, I had some really weird epiphanies. Like some of them are really uncomfortable, but I'm gonna share them here. So, my longtime friend and former lover that passed away last year, my brain was revisiting our like the time that we were really close last year. And what I realized in that is a couple of things. So first of all, I have a propensity, like there are some things I'm getting better at and there's some things I'm not. Okay, I'm gonna be real with you. One of the things that I'm getting better at is being able to verbalize my feelings in a direct fashion. Sometimes it's probably a little too aggressive, I think, for some people, but I've had it happen to me twice now where I've come across somebody and expressed to them that they hurt my feelings, and I do it just like that, like very direct, and like express what occurred and that it hurt my feelings. And then the response that I receive, in hindsight, I feel like should tell me all I need to know, but some like it's okay. I'll be better next time. One of them just stopped talking altogether, like just completely like ghost shutdown, like strong shutdown and stonewall, whatever. And then the other one is my longtime friend that passed away. And when I told him about that, basically it gave him anxiety. Like, and so here's the positive. Like, I think we had a good bad pairing. Because on one hand, I think there was a lot of open dialogue and communication. On the other hand, despite that open dialogue and communication, there was still like some, I guess I would say, low key, toxic behavior patterns anyway. So, me expressing my emotions, to summarize, pretty much gave him intense, overwhelming anxiety, and I don't think it was anxiety. I think it's like it activated his like his fight or flight response, like, because again, to me, it's at a whole different level, two different things. And so, pretty much, my anxiety triggered his anxiety, is one step. And then you take it further into, still maintaining the conversation, the communication. And I'm white knighting this syndrome, like, this circumstance, just like fucking anything else, this. Like, this is somebody that I care about. He's going through some shit that's not dissimilar to what I went through. And obviously, what do I want to do? I want to go in on my white horse and fucking rescue you. Eh. And so, like, you drill that down into, the final conversation of, like, so when I realized that I was having problems with my brain chemistry and I pretty much said that I can't be involved with you. Removing myself from that and then experiencing, we're still trying to maintain a friendship. He had posted something online about a first date, a date that he experienced that was really, really amazing. I expressed that my feelings were hurt, and he ended up kind of like spiraling out from that and getting upset that I was upset, and then, I took a couple weeks off because like I kept seeing like social media posts that I feel like they were done intentionally to hurt my feelings. And so it's like in the end we were pretty much one-upping each other, because he was posting things, like I said, it might not be intentional, but that was my perception at the time. And in retrospect, actually, as well, is that he was posting things that were hurting my feelings, with no regard for that whatsoever. And then I chose through circumstance to do the same. Because I started seeing somebody, and while I was seeing the person that I was seeing, I was posting on social media as well about, like, you know what I mean? Generically happy couple pictures or like subtle like things. And then I can't remember if it was June. It was either late May or early June. There were a couple of times that I was over at the guy that I was seeing his apartment, and I got random phone calls from like unknown numbers around like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Like I said, it happened like a couple of times, just twice, and I was just like fucking like caught off guard by it, and I didn't think anything of it. And then he passed away, and so I'm like he got in a motorcycle accident and died. Now, yeah, it's probably coincidental, but at the same time, like, the part of me that's looking at the lens of our behavior, because I mean there were two layers to our encounters. Like, there was a very sweet, loving, and connected layer, and then there was another layer of like toxic one-upping. And the reality of the situation is there is some part of me, like, that's probably like some kind of fucking paranoid, that feels as though, you know what I mean, like he did the ultimate one-upping, you know what I mean? Like, you can't fucking unring that bell. And like, I am living with the consequences of that, you know, like, and his family is living with the consequences of that, because I don't know. There is still, like, I have two opinions or thoughts, beliefs, or whatever, on how that transpired and played out. I think either he had too much to drink and got behind the wheel when he shouldn't have, or I think it's possible that it was done on, like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he was experiencing the call of the void and, like, beep, you know what I mean? Like, I've experienced that quite a few times. Where I'm driving and I just get that random, like, what if I just like jerk my wheel and, you know what I mean, like steer into oncoming traffic. And a lot of people do that, and that's what that's called, is the call of the void. But there's another part of me that wonders, like, is it possible that this was intentional? Because there is something that, like, when you're in operating from a constant activation of your like fight or flight response, there's some really fucky shit that goes on in the body. Like, really, really, really fucky shit. And that's, it's so difficult to explain, like, what that's like to somebody if they haven't experienced that. It's like losing your fucking mind in such a, again, it's really hard to describe. Like, it's really, really, really hard to describe, like, how that feels and what operating from that place is like. And so, yeah, I don't know. It was really interesting though to be in my meditation and have a really crisp understanding for the fact that, you know, just despite my working towards being better, both emotionally, mentally, and like behaviorally, like how easy it was to still, you know, be dragged into this, I don't know, like toxic behavior game, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. And so, to me, those types of engagements really speak to, like, maybe I'm not as, like, the idea of, like, I still have more healing to do. You know what I mean? Like, I still have more work to do. And so, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting to have that come up to the surface, and it gave me some food for thought, and it gave me something to process from a different perspective than how I've already been processing this loss. So, yeah. And I feel like that on that for now. So I'm going to go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in. And as always, be well.